25 years ago. Jennifer is a teacher of the deaf, and I was a sign language interpreter, and I worked in Jennifer's program. Now, Jennifer, I'm curious if your mother's background in elocution influenced your choice to go into language and literacy studies, and specifically working with the deaf.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. She actually ended up becoming a teacher, which was interesting because, again, because of the elocution. After my dad passed away, she had to make a living somehow, so she started teaching elocution again and ended up getting a job working with kids who are developmentally delayed. And I was always so inspired by her teaching. So in some way, yes, I think it did influence me.
That's really incredible. So she started with elocution, went into radio.
Yep.
And then after your dad passed, went back to elocution. It was a real yep. call to her.
Yeah, she loved it. She loved poetry. And so it says in there that they have little verses and things that she would say. And I know that she would, you know, say poetry online or on the radio as well.
Mm-hmm. So how old would you have been when she went into teaching?
I think I was 10 or 11.
Oh, wow. Well, your mom sounds like a really amazing woman.
Yeah, she was. She was pretty amazing. She would sort of blow you away, I think, when you met her.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, last week on my show, I talked with one of my mom's older sisters, Marion Jorgensen. She was 3 years older than my mom, and I talked to her about the first time she ever heard radio. And mm-hmm. so that was like, say, 1936.
Mm-hmm.
And so radio was just so different in those days, in the 30s and 40s.
Yes. It would have been so important.
It was so important. Like Mamie had told me that her family was able to afford a radio because the father had, the harvest had come in and he had sold the wheat and they had a little bit of extra money and radios, yeah. you know, were new. And she said it became their source of entertainment, of news, and of course, in the 30s and 40s with World War II.
Mm-hmm, so, that's right, yeah.
Given how important radio was in the 30s and 40s, I'm not surprised that your mom was such a success at it because it was such an important time.
Yes, she told me that when she was in high school, and I can hardly believe it because she was very conscientious about school, but she would sneak down into the basement where the janitor had a radio, and there was some special program at some certain day in the afternoons, and she'd sneak down and maybe say she was going to the bathroom or something and go and listen to this program.
And not like the other kids who sneak out for a cigarette.
That's right. No, she'd be down listening to the radio, and I don't know how she pulled it off or what made her feel like she could do it, but she did it.
That is really amazing. What, yeah. I'm trying to get a sense of how old your mom would have been. Like, what year was she born?
1915. So she would have, if she'd lived, she would have turned 100 this January.
Oh, my. So yeah. In 1915, so it must have been like 1922. Or no, 1930 when she snuck down to the janitor's
yeah.
office.
Yeah, I would say around then, yeah.
That is such a great story. She yeah. was so called, right?
Yes. Oh, she just loved it. And yeah, she always talked about it to her sisters that she was going to work in radio one day. And I guess it took her older sister to get her to actually do it by daring her to go in.
Well, that's really great. Well, thanks so much, Jennifer. I appreciate
it.
That was Jennifer Kerr of Steveston, originally of Kelowna. And we were talking about her mother, Eileen Bowman, one of the first women in radio in Canada.
If you've just tuned in, you were listening to my 2014 interview with Jennifer Kerr. Tonight's show is part of our Fund Drive annual fundraising event. Financial contributions help programmers to produce new, highly quality episodes of your favorite shows. And now, more than ever with COVID, financial contributions in part are going towards helping programmers to produce these shows from home. There are three different ways that you can donate to our fund drive. The easiest way to donate is by credit card through our secure online donation page at www.cjsf.ca/donate. The second way to donate is by check. send us a check made out to CJSF Radio. The address is CJSF Radio, TC216, Simon Fraser University, Burnaby, BC. Victor 5, Alma, 1 Simon 6. The third way to donate is by calling the Fund Drive hotline at 778-782-2573. Our Fund Drive office hours are 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day during the drive. Should you call the hotline and no one is available, please leave a message anytime with your name and number and your donation amount, and we will call you back to finalize your donation. Due to COVID, the hotline is not staffed outside of the Fund Drive hotline hours, which once again are 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day during the drive, which runs November 2nd through November 8th. Finally, you can also make a donation by speaking personally with a program host to pledge your donation. We will follow up with you about your pledge. Donate now at cjsf.ca/donate. Up next, we've got a song from Canadian trio, The Arrogant Worms. These guys got their start in community radio in Kingston, Ontario. So I've got a song for you off their 2000 CD Live Bait, Proud to be a Canadian. Here we go.
Our fair country, Canada, is north of the USA. Our maritimes are lovely and our prairies give us hay. You might think you Yankees are better than us Canucks, but we don't need no microchips inside our hockey pucks.
We know that you've got Disney World and you keep it very clean. We don't have Bob Dole and we can drink when we're 19. Give you Alan Thicke, but Shania Twain is ours.
We're proud to be Canadian. We're awfully nice to strangers. Our manners feel our curse. It's cool in many ways to be Canadian. We won't say that we're better. It's just that we're less worse.
Not too tasty and your weather can't be beat. We all fly south in the winter time to escape the snow and sleet. We're pleased to say that we've enjoyed all your southern charms, but we get sunburnt when we exercise the right to bear our arms.
Proud to be Canadian. We're awfully nice to strangers. Our manners be our curse. It's cool in many ways to be Canadian. We won't say that we're better, it's just that we're less worse.
Alanis Morissette, she is our latest pride and joy.
Oh!
She used to sing about high school dances and chasing after boys.
Yeah!
But now she is fed up and about as angry as can be. She's got one hand in her pocket and the other's on guard for thee.
Proud to be Canadian.
We're awfully nice to strangers. Our manners be hard.
We're just too darn nice.
It's cool in many ways to be Canadian.
We're not being Canadian.
We won't say that we're better.
No.
It's just if we're less worse.
Pick it up, pick it up.
We're proud to be Canadian.
Proud to be Canadian.
We're awfully nice to strangers.
Door for you, man.
It's cool in many ways to be Canadian.
It's cool cause it's cold up here.
We won't say that we're better.
No.
It's just that we're less worse. We won't say that we're better.
For listeners who have just tuned in, my show tonight is part of CJSF's 1 week a year fun drive.
We are accepting donations ongoingly, but if you'd like to donate tonight, please go to our website at www.cjsf.ca/donate. All the instructions on how to make a donation are on this page. Aside from specifying the amount you would like to donate, you also fill in your name, your credit card information, and you also have the option to name the show that you would like to donate to. Perhaps it's a show that you listen to weekly. Perhaps you listen to several shows weekly. And in that case, you may want to just donate to the station. So once again, the IP address is www.cjsf.ca/donate. For those who are wondering what our station does with our donations that we receive every year, we have different programs that we have. We have different trainings. We buy new equipment. We are grateful to all of the donations that we receive every year, because it means we are able to use these donations to better improve our radio station, our shows, to do new trainings, and overall to bring better programming to you at home. And you can make those donations at www.cjsf.ca/donate.
One of the first indie bands from Vancouver that I heard of when I came into radio was the Oh Wells, with the front woman, Sarah Jickling. Amazing songwriter, amazing band. Sarah went solo, I think, in, I think it was 2018. Anyways, the song I have is from the CD Not That Girl from Transformers. And the song I have is an incredible, fun, loving, very fun song. Here it is now, the Oh Wells with Is It Too Late to Apologize?
Apologize.
And now, as we approach the end of tonight's show, I'd like to play for you a radio tale. It's one of the early radio tales that I wrote, and it's about a road trip that my family took in 1975. It looks at how music colored the road trip and wove its way into my young life as a budding teenager. So here it is now.
Radio tale number 7, Riding the Prairie Airwaves. As my family drove across the barren prairie flatlands, en route to a family reunion, the music of the 70s carried us across the miles. Karen Carpenter sang into the night air, lulling us kids to sleep in the back of the station wagon.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone.
Although the ride was long, the music kept me distracted and deterred me from being impatient to get to our destination. With the sun beating down through the windshield and the dusty prairie winds blowing through my hair, the winds carried the sound of the whistling air, the smells of manure, and the warmth of the day soaking into my sunburnt face. Meanwhile, Helen Reddy sang of good old Ruby Redress, talking to herself, something my 11-year-old self could relate to. After camping for the night, at sunrise we packed up for the long day ahead. At the Husky station, Dad filled up with gas and topped up the cooler with frozen ice. Mom and us kids went into the store to stock up on sundries, snacks, soda pop, and of course, Rothman's cigarettes for Mom and Dad. As Dad merged onto Highway 1 with Judd Strunk singing A Daisy a Day, Mom sang along. Waving her hands to keep with the beat of the music, my mom turned to sing to us kids as we ripped open our bags of Old Dutch potato chips.
He remembers the first time he met her. He remembers the first thing she said. He remembers the first time he held her, and the night that she came to his bed. He remembers her sweet way of singing, honey, has something gone wrong? He remembers the fun and the teasing, and the reason he wrote her this song. I'll give you a daisy a day, dear. I'll give you a daisy a day. I'll love you until the rivers run still.
The day wore on as we tired from the heat, driving for long stretches with the prairie sun beating down. The inside of the car became a sauna so that the vinyl seats stuck to our bare skin and the cigarette smoke filled the confined space of the station wagon. Nearing the Alberta border, en route for Edmonton, the car's engine began to overheat. Nothing a needle and thread couldn't fix, I'm sure. Before too long, however, we exited the freeway to small town BC, Revelstoke, population 700. Having driven for 2 days, pulling into every two-bit town every few hundred miles or so to fill up for gas and to stop for a bathroom break and a bite to eat, we were stranded as Dad waited for an engine part to arrive so his car could be repaired. With dusk setting in, we pitched our tent and camped for the night.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh,
listening as the pace slowed down and the crickets came together in harmony, I knew Dad's home was near. Although he didn't say it, I knew Dad prided himself in bringing his family back to the land where he was raised, back to the farm he once toiled, back to the people he called family. The smell of the cows filled the air, as did the arrival of much-anticipated kinfolk. When we arrived at the farm, my dad's younger brother came out of the house and my cousins came running from the fields, inviting us to join them in exploring the farm. I looked up into the night sky, alit with stars, and realized that this must be the big open sky I'd heard so much about. I wondered why they had more sky than we did in the city. With crickets singing in the background and the adults drinking prairie-brewed ale and homemade cider on the back deck, we kids traipsed around the farmyard. We popped cherries into our mouths, one after the other, spitting out the pits to see who could spit the furthest. As the night got long, my dad's sister-in-law pulled out her guitar to sing what I would come to recognize as one of the many songs in her repertoire.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. There to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the lane I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherry. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house.
Spending time on the prairies was strange for me. My narrow city thinking left me naive to the world and the realities of the country. Although I would later become aware that my ignorance left me arrogant, as we drove across the prairies, I wondered about the prairie folks we were going to see. They lived in towns that played movies that we'd seen in the city the year before. This seemed backward to me. I thought of their small-town street signs and sensibilities. I thought of them living in farmhouses that had no flush toilets, on acreage that was littered with cattle, livestock, chickens, pigs, and tattered and broken-down barns from the days when my father was a boy on the prairies. While my thinking would change, my immediate thoughts were crass. I wouldn't say I looked down on these country folk, but in my young mind, I thought they hadn't caught up with the city cousins. They seemed two steps behind us, like their clothes were different, and they seemed less fancy compared to those of us from the city. I thought they were out of date with the times. This thinking would change, though. After 2 weeks on the farm, I found myself looking at the country folk differently. I liked them. My city cousin, who I'd grown up with, continued to make fun of them, though, and soon I realized that she spoke of them in derogatory terms, not unlike how she'd always treated me. As our time on the farm drew to a close, I could see that they had more than us. They had the country as their home. They also had the city for when they wanted it, and always had the country to go back to. Unlike us, they had space to move around in, and they had the music, my aunt's guitar, and they had the crickets singing in the background. Camping on the farm changed me. There was much to take away from my family's road trip to the Canadian prairies that summer. Camping on the land, eating peanut butter sandwiches in my cousin's broken-down milk truck at dusk, watching my brother and cousin chase arthritic pigs around the farmyard, drinking baby duck at the family reunion hall, and seeing my Uncle Ray and recalling something strange and creepy, something I couldn't place. Eating macaroni salad, marshmallow salad, jello salad, Rice Krispie squares, matrimonial cake, Nanaimo bars, and tomato soup cake. Mmm, I love that tomato soup cake. Sitting around the fire each night, eating burgers, hot dogs, and watching my dad chew on pig's feet. Ugh. As my family made our way home, back the way we came, across the prairie flatlands, through Albertan wheat fields, soaking up the rays of radium hot springs, driving along the cityscapes into the sound of buzzing lights, I knew that home was near. The smell of manure had dissipated. John Denver was nowhere in sight, but his music lingered on.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Crawling into bed that night, reflective of my country cousins, and knowing that we weren't so different, the twang of Neil Young danced along the horizon, with its shadows dancing on my bedroom wall. Country aside, I was grateful to have met my cousins. Maybe we city dwellers were more up to date in regards to movies and fashion. But if truth be told, we were the ones who were backwards. We were the ones who were behind the times. Too often, city folks were too busy and too distracted to connect with ourselves, our family, and our ancestral roots. Not to mention, too busy to make marshmallow salad. After all, it takes prairie folks to make a really good marshmallow salad. I should know. My mother was a prairie girl.
Say hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge and to this year's Fun Drive at CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Mountain. Please note that our Fun Drive runs every day through November 6th. And to donate here at the station, please go to our website at www.cjsf.ca/donations.